College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Welcome to Advanced Meditation, lecture number 4. I see we're all here, all of us, ready to go. We're going to discuss today one of the strongest sequences of energy that exists for us. It's the strongest channel for healing. It's a tool that was given to us by the sages so that we could reveal positive revelation of positive energy in the cosmos. And we should all be familiar with this sheet of paper, which is called the Ana B'Koach prayer. It is one of the connections, one of the meditations that we focus upon at least twice a day. And we use these combinations of letters in order to bring positivity into our lives. Now, we've got to mention that normally this combination of letters is taught as soon as all the basic principles are learned. The moment that someone can understand this concept, we teach it. And so the reason for this is because for some reason tomorrow, you will no longer be able to study Kabbalah. And if you need one tool in order to be in control, the only thing that we could give you beside the Zohar would be this chart called the Ana B'Koach. Now there are a few basic things that you should remember. One is the consciousness cycle. From the time of creation until today, there is a consciousness cycle that takes place and is repeated every month, every year, every week, every day. The same force of energy that exists in the cosmos is repeated every year, every day, at the same time, every hour. From the time of creation, where the Torah said, Vayihi erev, vayihi voker, and it was evening and it was morning, day one, the same sequence of 7 days is used. And it's used by all people, by the way. And the question that many people have asked is, why is it that there is not one group that follows an 8-week pattern? Why do we follow a different kind of pattern? Why do we follow a 7-day pattern? Not a 7-week, an 8-day pattern. Why does everybody follow the 7-day pattern? And the spiritual answer to this question revolves around the point that every day represents a different level of energy. Each and every day manifests for us from the time of creation those 7 forces that appear in the cosmos that are tools for us to tap into the energy that repeats itself every single week. And that's the reason why all peoples of the world keep this framework of 7 days, even without having any kind of consciousness regarding it. Because there's an automatic force that repeats this sequence that we are all attuned to whether we realize it or not. And therefore, whenever we say Sunday, what energy level are we talking about? Yom Echad, no, but what's the top line here? What is that
chesed.
Called? Chesed. It's right column energy, positivity, totality. When we say Monday, what is it?
Gevura,
which is what column? Left column, which means judgment, negativity. When we say Tuesday, what are we talking about? Tiferet, which is?
Central
column. Tiferet, centrality, balance. Wednesday is? Netzach. What kind of column?
Right
column. Lower triad, right column. Thursday is left column, it is Hod. Friday is central column, the energy of Yesod. And then Shabbat, which is the manifestation, Malchut, that energy that will bring out and actually manifest all the energy that we're able to tap into during the week. And we'll soon talk about the energy of Shabbat, which is the Sabbath, in case you didn't know. And we will say at that time that the energy of Shabbat is the capability to manifest all the energy that we were able to tap into during the week. It means that all the restriction that we did during the week, all the sharing that we did during the week, and also all the opportunities that we missed doing during the week, and all the negativity that we piled on ourselves, that boomerang will be the Shabbat. Every month from the time of creation, says Kabbalah, represents a different force. It's represented by a different tribe, by a different sign of the zodiac. And we know that from the time of creation, there is a cycle of 365 days, 365 days in the year, and that's what's kept, basically, and that's because these same forces repeat themselves. Now, therefore, in order for us to gain control, we've got to understand what these forces are. And that's the whole secret as to why we study Kabbalah, why people study Kabbalah. The one thing that we do teach is how to be happier. We study so that we can achieve more control over our lives. And if we don't understand the repetition of forces that exist in the cosmos, if we don't understand what each and every day of the week represents, we're never going to be able to be in control. We need the tools. And that's why knowing the cycle is so important. We need to know the cycle, and we have to be aware of it, and we have to be conscious of it. Now there we have in the Jewish tradition a great many holidays. In fact, there is a holiday in almost every single month of the year, except one. Or there's a commemoration every year, except one, Scorpio. It's called Mar Cheshvan. We have an abundance of holidays in Judaism. And we have abundance of even more holidays in one month, particular the month of Libra. Scorpio is almost the only month that has no holidays. The month of Sagittarius, Kislev, is Chanukah. The month we're in now, Adar, Pisces, has the holiday of Purim and the death anniversary of Moses on the seventh day of the month. You have the month of Nisan, Aries, where we celebrate Passover. We have the month of Sivan, which is Gemini, where we celebrate Pentecost, Shavuot, the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, to the entire world on Mount Sinai. Almost every single month has a holiday. And what do these holidays represent? Are they just another way to express religiosity? That's the question we always ask in Kabbalah. Is it just another way to follow rituals? Because we've been accused of being a very ritualistic community, very legalistic community. Is that what this is about? Let's follow some more laws. Are there another way to follow rituals? Holidays are opportunities, according to Kabbalah, that are given to us by the cosmos so that we can tap into different types of stores of energy. And that's what our holidays represent. And the reason why we want to celebrate these holidays is because it gives us an opportunity. It's an opportunity only if you understand what you're doing. If you don't understand what you're doing, then well, you're wasting your time. So then you go and have a good meal and everything's wonderful and you have a nice time. The moment you know that it's an opportunity, you're able to gain control. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, this was given us free. It's a free gift. We have the opportunity, on the other hand, on this Rosh Hashanah, to look at our cassette and make of it what we want. But this opportunity is given to us for only these 2 days. If somebody is ignorant of this fact, then what happens? They come to the synagogue, they pray, they go home, they have a great meal, they put some honey, apple, eat, oh, everyone's happy, they all had a good time, slap each other on the back, and nothing happens. It'll have no effect on them, and destiny, their destiny will not be under their control. But according to Kabbalah, if you know what you're doing on those 2 days, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, it really makes no difference because it's a universal message, you've got the ability on that day to take control. So if I did something negative during the past year, I can change it. I'm able to use these 2 days to manifest and change what reality is for me. And that's why it's important for us to know these holidays, because unless we tap into the energy that is being offered during these holidays, we're not going to have any control over our tikkun process. What's our own personal tikkun process? What is that? What is tikkun?
Our correction.
Right. We're here to correct. We didn't come here just to smoke cigars. We came here to correct. Well, correct what?
What is correcting from receiving for ourselves alone and just learning not to...
Transform that. Yeah. During Passover, we can tap into the energy controlling wars. Why do I say, and conflicts for the coming year? Why do I say that? What's the planet that controls Aries?
Mars.
Mars is what kind of a planet?
War.
Who wants conflict? I don't want them. I don't want them, whether they're between myself and other people, whether between people that surround me or between countries of the world. Nobody likes conflict. So we must know how to make these connections. And that's what our holidays are all about. Because what happens every year on Rosh Hashanah was not just the day the Torah picked out and said, okay, this will be the new year. That's not the idea behind that. And it's not even a day where the Torah says, okay, this is a good day you can tap into. That's not it either. Rosh Hashanah, it means that this is the day when this world was created. It's the seed level of the world. It's the seed level of creation. And it is also the seed level of the year. Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world. We say that in our prayers. We say, Hayom Harat Olam. Today the world came into being. We're going back to the seed level. And therefore, if we are able to tap into the energy of the seed level, we're able to determine the result. If I plant a healthy seed, I get a healthy tree. If I plant a seed and the tree isn't healthy, there must have been something wrong with the seed. And therefore, the reason why holidays exist has nothing to do whether we need a reason to celebrate. It's because there's a certain power that is revealed and has revealed itself in the cosmos. And so on Purim that we celebrate, we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks, there's a certain energy that was revealed to the Jews in Persia that allowed them to be victorious at the time when everyone wanted to destroy them. We don't celebrate Purim only because the Jews won a battle. That's not the reason. We celebrate because there's a force during Purim that is revealed from the time of creation at that time of the year. And that energy exists in the universe every year at the same time. And because the Jews were able to tap into that energy at that time, they overcame their foes. Why were the Jews able to leave Egypt on Passover, on Aries? Why not in Taurus? Why not in Capricorn? Why not 1 month later, 1 month before? Because the planet Mars, which controls Nisan Aries, allows them to overcome wars and conflicts and disagreements. That's why they could leave Egypt. According to the way the Kabbalah, the Zohar, sees the events, how it sees the world. And therefore, it's not only because they left Egypt and they won the war that we celebrate Passover. We celebrate it because we too can also win a war if we know how to tap into that energy that they tapped into at that time of the year, what would be this time of the year, in a month so. Passover existed from the time of creation. It had nothing to do with history from a Zoharic perspective. It's always been there. It just happened that at this time they were able to get out because that was the time you could tap into that energy that would allow you to get out. And what did it's very interesting. What was the first thing the Israelites did? What was the first commandment given to the Israelites before they left? Does anyone know?
Sacrifice?
Right. What did they sacrifice?
Unblemished lamb?
Yeah, what is a lamb? It's an Aries.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting, huh? It's an Aries. They said to the Egyptians, basically, your God that you're worshiping, we're sacrificing. Because they worship the ram. What a statement. Another thing we should remember is the different times of the day. There are cycles during the day that are either more positive or less positive, more negative or less negative. We know that in the morning there's a stronger influence of right column energy. That is called chesed, mercy. We know that at noontime until sunset there is left column energy, gevurah. The entire period of the night is the energy of centrality. That's why that we're told that if you get up during the evening, you should begin doing whatever you're doing. If you get up at 2 in the morning, you should start studying. I used to do that. I used to drag my feet all day because I'd wake up at 3 and I'd start to work. I do that from time to time now, but usually I try to force myself to go back to sleep so that I can get through the next day. But a true Kabbalist That's what they do. They get up. When they get up, that's when they start the day. Because the idea behind it is that's the moment you can connect to balance. All those 18 books that I wrote were all written between the hours of 1, 2 in the morning until 6, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning. That's when I was doing all my work. And the reason to study is not to become smarter. That's the next idea. The reason to study is to reveal more energy. That's why you want to study. And that's why you got to be conscious about what's going on. So where do we learn that someone should not begin a new venture on a Monday or a Wednesday? From where does that originate? We're told that on Monday and Wednesday, all the negative forces in the world were created. Doesn't make sense. Must be...
I wonder.
Yeah. And so if you desire to begin a new venture, these are not the days to do it. That's not necessarily so every Monday or every Wednesday.
Mondays are not.
Yes, well, they are. From the time of creation, these 2 days are more on the side of the vessel or of judgment. Blue Monday, it's called. We need judgment because without judgment, we can't build our vessel properly. So you need those days. But the second day, remember, Monday, what does Monday represent? I haven't got time to laugh. What does Monday represent? Monday is division. What was Sunday? It doesn't say it was evening and was morning the first day. It says day one, wholeness, totality, harmony. When you get two, you got division. That's why it doesn't say in the Bible, and the Lord saw and it was good. It's the one day it doesn't say that. The Zohar tells us there's one thing that existed prior to the creation of our world. And that was, what do you think it was? What existed before this world was created, besides the light? I know how you think, guys. No, that's the light. What? The letters! The Hebrew letters! We're taking a course the second hour on the power of the structure of the alphabet. That all these letters came before God and said, create the world with my energy intelligence. So it had to be in existence before him, right? And the Zohar tells us that God was looking at the Hebrew letters and he created the world. So what does that mean? What are you saying that there exists out in the cosmos these 22 Hebrew letters? And you know, one of the most interesting courses that we offer is the one we offer in the second hour that most of you go out and talk in the parking lot, right? It's the power of the alphabet. Go to the room now. Because the Hebrew alphabet represents not letters by which we create a language, but rather 22 basic forces that run this world. And these 22 forces represent all the activity that occurs in one's lifetime. Every correction that we must undergo is connected to one or another of these forces. One of those forces is truth. We've studied that. Emet, remember the letter Taf. One is lying, Sheker, which was the letter Kuf, right? One is justice, which we'll get to. And there are 22 basic forces, and from these forces was our world created. And this world is based upon these forces. And therefore, when the Torah says that the Hebrew letters existed before the creation of the world, and the Torah doesn't say it, the Zohar says it, we're being told that this is the blueprint of this universe. And there's a Hebrew letter that created the planet, and there's a Hebrew letter that created the sign, and from all of these signs, there emerged the creation of this world. So when we try to gain control, when we try to change our lives, we got to do it. We can only do it on the seed level. So what do we want to do? We want to look at a situation and then change that situation. You see, the family, your family, the way it is, you want to change it. That doesn't mean you want to get rid of some and get some others in. You want to change the relationship. You want to change it for better. Too late. Because what are you looking at? You're looking at the branches, right? The branches of the seed. You're looking at the manifestation, but you're not looking at the seed. What we want to do is to be able to connect to the seed level. So we've got to go back and find the seed, the DNA, and change that. That's the only way you can create a difference. How do we do it? Well, the only way we can create a difference in our life, it's not enough, by the way, to change one's lifestyle, although you got to also do that. It's not enough that you change the date of your marriage, because you can't do that, because you're already married. It's not enough to change the date of your birth, because you're already born. You've got to go to the seed level before there was an effect. Therefore, when we look at our correction process, when we look at our tikkun, and we say, how can we be so involved with jealousy and hate? And we realize that maybe it is because we're a Scorpio and we're connected to the energy of Scorpio, or we have a rising sign that's a Scorpio. And if Scorpio is controlling the planet Mars, my God, it's not enough that I know that that's being controlled by Mars. I have to know the letters that created and controlled Mars. And that's the metaphysical DNA to my chaos. But without reaching that seed level, I will never be able to really create a difference. The human body is also a microcosmos of the universe. According to rabbinic biology, there are 365 ligaments which line up with the 365 days of the year, and each and every one of us has the same structure as the universe, and volume 15 of the Zohar discusses this correlation, which we're not going to get into now because that's a course all in itself. We're not going to do it either. So what does all this have to do with this, the Ana B'Koach? How can this paper that I've given you, this chart that I've given you, how can that help us? So let's pick up this piece of paper that I handed out, and let's look at its structure. But before we learn how it works, let's learn its structure. When we look at the context of this prayer, it seems as if there's no context. There's no connection between one word and the other. And by the way, if you just look at the Hebrew letters, if someone knows the Hebrew, you know it's very hard to translate this. You know, Ana b'koach gedulat yimincha tatir tzchura. Ana, please, with your strength, the greatness of your right hand strength, release my bonds. You know, I mean, okay. All right, that's nice. I gave it to you, but it has nothing to do with what we're doing. But that's what those words mean, you know. So if you ask, why should I say it, and I don't understand what it says, and even those who understand Hebrew will say this, and I'll say to you, I don't really understand what it means either. I really don't know the meaning of these words as they relate one to another. But these words and these letters are combinations of different forces. Each letter creates a different resonance. When you say it, it sounds differently. And therefore, we know that each letter creates a different energy. It creates a different impact upon reality. And therefore, the combination of these words creates the big picture as to what this universe represents. This meditation was written by a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, who was a Kabbalist, whose purpose in writing the Ana B'Koach was to provide us with a tool so that we could have control over the planets, and in this manner, give us a way to control our destiny. And so the first thing you see is that we have seven lines. You see that? Everybody see it? Seven lines. Okay. They're representative of the seven luminations of those words on the right. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. We already know that those are the Sfirot, because we talked about that. And you will also see that in every sentence, there are six words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right? Seven lines, six words. What do the six words represent? Guess. Six Sfirot that are responsible to transfer energy from potential to actual. And the reason why there are six words and not seven is because manifestation can only happen when the six emanations are already manifested. And then you'll see at the end of the meditation a notation telling us that the last sentence must be said silently. Do you see that? Do you see it? In the little words there, it says silently. See underneath the last line? Do you see it? Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed. This combination is found in the highest form of connection, which is used in synagogues regarding healing with the Shema Yisrael. When we say the prayer, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, we then say softly, because it's such a high connection, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed. You don't say it out loud. Except on Yom Kippur, when we are like angels. As angels don't eat, we don't eat. So then it is said out loud. The last sentence in this prayer is Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed. And this verse, according to the Zohar, is the verse that creates concealment and makes the revelation take place on the Malchut level, on the level of manifestation, in a manner so that Satan cannot grasp that energy into which we are tapping. And another thing I want you to know, if I'm saying there are 7 lines and 6 words, what does that add up to? 7 times 6? And what is this? This is another name for this prayer, is the 42 names of God. But what are we actually saying here? Yes? We are saying that whenever we want to plant a seed, we can never leave it revealed. It must be concealed. We know that, right? That whenever we want to reveal the beauty of a woman, you put on makeup, you put on nice clothes, you conceal, then you reveal. Revelation can only come from concealing. Whenever you want to reveal electricity, you cover it with a cable, right? Whenever you want to create a revelation in this world, you always have to cover it. And that's the reason why there is a tradition of ours to cover the bread on when we make the blessing over the bread on the Sabbath, we cover it to create concealment. And not necessarily because the bread has feelings and you're making the blessing over the wine before the bread and it's being insulted, you know. But that's another story. Whenever there is concealment, there is revelation. The same way that it happens in the physical world, and the same applies here. And that's why we say this verse very silently. And you also must remember, if you took Kabbalah 201, when we learned about the structure of the human body, if you remember, that we said that the mouth was Malchut. And that's why it is important to say these words, because in this manner we create a resonance. We then create an impact on the physical realm. And another point, each and every verse is equivalent to a different day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbat. And now if you look to the left, you see the Hebrew letters. You see Hebrew letters to the left? Right? Two columns like of Hebrew letters, you see that? And if you look, for each and every month, there is a combination of the different letters according to the 7 planets. So I got to explain this. Huh? I got to explain this, right? Let's look here. We're now in the month of Adar. So look on the right hand, look for Adar. Where you see it? The fourth, fifth, one, two, three, fourth box. You see it? And that, he tells you, is on the line of Gevurah. You see that? So go up to the line of Gevurah. You see where that is? Kabel Rinat. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagrenu Ta'arenu Nora. You see that? So you know that Adar is going to connect to that line, which is Pisces. And Pisces has the letter Kuf. See that letter next to it? Right here? And also it's the planet Jupiter, which is the next letter. And then in the next box you got those two letters together. Kuf Gimel. You see that? See those two? You don't see it? Yeah. You didn't see it? Okay. And then the next box is Kra Satan. Those six letters refer to the six words on that line. And you see the same letters right up here. Look here. Same letters here. So here's how you do it. When you want to meditate on this, there should be something in this. When you want to meditate, you're going to use all these verses. And we'll do that. We'll go over it. Today is the month of Adar. We know that, right? Because I told you. That's how you know. You know the line is the second line which we have to stop at. And we know that the letters that control this month are Kuf and Gimel, those two letters there in that little box. You see it? Okay? And we use this sentence that controls this month, we use it as a tool to control the negative influence of this month and to connect to the positive influence of this month. And we say this sentence, and as we say it, we concentrate on those two letters of the month, which are Kuf and Gimel. And these two letters represent the vessel that can bring down the energy of these two letters, which represent Kuf and Gimel, Aries and Jupiter. And by the end of our discussion this evening, we'll go through each and every sign of the zodiac, because we have to assume that you all have not taken the astrology course, except for Tim, and therefore you don't know the basic forces that control in each and every month. Therefore, I'll give you in one or two words the positive and negative aspects of each and every sign. And in this manner, you'll know that in each month you want to protect yourself from and what you want to connect to. So when you say this meditation, you place more emphasis on that letter. And when you get to the sentence of the month, you say that slower. So if we're going to do this later tonight, we're going to do it, we'll say each line. But when we get to the second line, which happens to be for Adar, we'll do that slower. We'll stop. We'll meditate on those two letters, Kuf and Gimel. And then what we'll try to do is see a ball of light with these two letters and try to see those two letters come through your head, through a hole and down your entire body, all our external organs as well as our internal organs. And we do it with our body because our body represents the essence of our correction, our desire, how much light we have in us. And second, our body is a microcosmos of everything that our body is able to tap into. And the moment we get to the letters, when the letters reach our feet, we push them back and we're able to see the entire body in a white light, covering any kind of sickness, any kind of negative thoughts. We convert it with positive flow that these two letters provide, and then push them back, all that light, to the source above our head. And I'll go over it with you as we go through the meditation. I'll tell you exactly what I want you to do. The question is, why do you push it back? Because we know that the only way to create revelation is through restriction. So when light is revealed, it can only be revealed when it is reflected. So you push it back. And then you're done with your meditation. You share this force with everyone you think needs it as well. And you continue with the Ana B'Koach, then you continue with line 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then silently you say the last verse, and that's how you seal the connection. Why do I have to say the whole thing? Why not just say the verse that is for the day of the week, or the day of the month, and the verse that connects to the month? Because in order for us to tap into any kind of energy, you've got to build your vessel properly. And unless you have a total picture, unless you're part of the entire structure of the emanations of the Sfirot, you're never going to be able to bring that energy into your life. We have to see the entire picture. You have to connect to the totality in order to focus so that you can bring that specific thing into your life. Any questions? Any questions? Only questions. All right. Let's do this first. I just have to do, you can take some notes down because I'm going to go through every one of these months now very quickly. quickly the different influences of each month. These conditions do not only affect those born under the sign, but everyone during the month, a particular sign. We are all being affected by Pisces, even though we weren't born under Pisces. I was, but most people aren't. So you're affected by that. Everybody is affected by what's going on in the universe now. But let's start with Capricorn. The positive aspects of Capricorn is stability and responsibility. So you want to connect to that. The negative aspects of Capricorn are pessimism, conservative energy, and they are materialistic. Aquarius. The positive aspect is they're nonconformists. They are enlightened. Positive possibility of seeing the future and controlling it. Any Aquarians here? The negative is that they lack a great deal of sensitivity. They're rebellious. One-to-one relationships are very, very difficult. Married to one?
No, my son
is one. Oh, okay. Sagittarius. Any Sagittarians here? Positive aspects are happiness. A great deal of variety they're open to. So they could be a minister, they could be ordained a Nazarene and pray in the Catholic Church and run the Unity Church. Amazing. Variety. Openness. They like to take chances. They love to be in airports and travel. Negative aspects. They have a tendency for anger and restlessness, though the anger is not necessarily seen. Pisces. Positive is humbleness, tranquility, no ego, sensitivity. Now, if someone doesn't appear that way, they might have a rising sign like a Scorpio. Yeah, because that's what they will appear to. That doesn't mean they're not those other things. The negative aspect is their desire for comfort, because they have no ego. They don't want to confront. They don't like confrontation. Confrontation isn't yelling and screaming at someone. Confrontation is trying to work something out. Aries. The positive aspect is ability to make breakthroughs. They're pioneers. They have no fears. They got horns, boy, I'll tell you. They go up against that wall and continue to bang up and stubborn. That's negative. Greatest desire to receive for oneself alone. That's what you try to overcome. By the way, if any of you who are under these influences and are still under these same influences, the negative ones, that means you haven't done a thing since the day you were born. Just want you to know that. So don't smile and say, that's me. You know, okay. Scorpio. The positive aspect of Scorpio is they have an energy of redemption. Their negative aspects are jealousy, hate, desire to control. A Leo. Positive energy, leadership, seeing the whole picture. They're very practical people. Negative aspects, tremendous ego. Knowing everything that is good for the other person. You know any Leos? Okay. Positive for Taurus. They're loyal people. Any Taurians? Loyalty is good, very practical, tolerant. But the negative aspect is they're trapped in the illusion, the desire for comfort, hard to change. Libra. Positive, they're able to see everything, very positive, very sharing. Negative, not able to make decisions. They're lazy. Any Libras here? Geminis. Positive is that they're adaptable, they're smart, they're intelligent, they have a great deal of knowledge, but negative, they're restless, they can think good and bad about everything. They live in two worlds, no ability to differentiate between what is good and what isn't. Virgo. Positive, they see details, they're tremendous caring and responsibility. The negative is that I know it all. Not having control means I either have it all or they don't want anything. And cancer is positive sensitivity for others. They're usually good cooks. And negative, they're dreamers living in fantasies. They live in an illusion of sharing. Okay? That's all your 12. Now, we're going to be dealing with Pisces. And let me suggest to you, now that we're talking about it, that the way we're going to deal with this is we're going to go through this meditation now. And when we go through this meditation, I would like you to think, when we get to start meditating on the, when I get the whole thing lit up, I want you to think of a situation that you might be confronting tomorrow that might be negative. I want you to go through that situation, and I want you to change what you think would be negative to something positive. And then you'll see how much easier that confrontation will be. I know people, I know lawyers who do this before they go into court. I know doctors who do this before they start an operation. And I know people who will have a meeting, and they want a meeting to go a certain, and they claim that it helps. Does it always work? I don't know. But it helps. Now, I don't have the extension, but somebody took the extension. But you can make it louder anyway. Let's get the lights, just part of the lights anyway. Try to leave some of the light on. And we'll start to, and when we start, can you hear it? Tell me if you can hear it. Okay. All right. Now we're going to say these words together. We got to say them together. We call out the Sfira, and then we say the line. The second line, we'll do it a little slower, and then we go to the Kuf and Gimel, and we'll go through that routine. Okay, let's start. Chesed. Let's do it. Ana vekoach gedulat yemincha tatir srura gevura kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. I want you to look at those two letters, the Kuf and the Gimel. Close your eyes and see those two letters, Kuf and Gimel. And I want you to see it as a bright ball of light with those two letters, the letters being white fire around a ball of blackness. You see it coming close to you. You can see it in its alpha stage, if you remember where alpha is. It enters the top of your head. It's now going into your eyeballs, your nose, your ears, your mouth. Down your neck, down your right arm, down your left arm. Down your top part of your torso. You can see it's all lighting up. And your right leg. All the way down. The leg. Down your left leg. Your bottom part of your torso. And as soon as it hits your feet, you push it all the way back up to the head, and your whole body now is filled with the light of Kuf and Gimel. You want to connect to that which is spiritual, that which is humble. Feel tranquil. You're filled with sensitivity. It sensitivity for another. If you can think of something that, some incident, some confrontation, some meeting, some event that is occurring tomorrow, that you have some doubts about, that might end up with negative energy, I want you to place that in front of you now. I want you to take out your Polaroid camera, your digital camera, and I want you to snap that picture. And I want you to take now that ball of light, all that light that you have, and wash out that picture totally. And I want you to replace it with a positive picture, with a result that you would find pleasing. Got that picture? Snap it again. Make that picture. Print it. Take that and put it in your pocket and carry it with you all day tomorrow. I want you to take all that light, all that positive energy that you have now created for yourself, and I want you to let it go out of your feet and share it with your neighbors, with your friends. Share that positivity with the world. Let us continue the meditation. We open our eyes and we go to the third line, Tiferet. Na gibor dorshei yichudcha kvavat shamreim Netzach vorcheim tahareim rachamei tzidkatcha tamid gamleim Hod chasin kadosh berov tuvcha nahel adatecha Yesod yachid geye li'amcha.